Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, you remember this lady, I think her name was Colonel Melinda Woodhurst, right? She was the head of the Veterans Affairs Office. Well, she's past history now. We got the brand new director here, a guy by the name of Matthew Webb. He's a job he's had now for, let's see now. Has it been a month?
A little over a month, about 7 years and about seven months.
Okay.
Close.
Well, welcome to your first Straight Talk program.
Thank you, Manning. Appreciate it.
So tell everybody a little bit about you and your background, if you would.
Okay. I come to this area like many people from outside. I'm considered a transplant.
Aren't we all?
Born and raised in Long Island, New York. Did 20 years active duty in the Air Force. Prior to that, I was a Marine Corps reservist for one enlistment. My wife, Laura, is a Navy brat. My brother is a Navy veteran, served on the Carl Vinson. We were in theater together at the same time. Uncle, Vietnam veteran. I have five children, four boys, one girl. They're all Air Force brats. And we had lived primarily in Oklahoma for 14 years during two assignments when I was flying on AWACS out there. And then at some point I became a grandfather. So my son Kevin blessed me with two little grandsons. They're in Texas. So that was that's kind of our peanut butter spread across the country. And my oldest is in California. Long story short, so a lot of moving parts there, but we wanted to return to a place that kind of had that balanced life, some of the same type of vibe we were getting from Oklahoma. We weren't looking to live in a big city. We liked the people there. Weather and distance made it tough to stay, and most of my family was still located up and down the eastern seaboard. So
sure.
We picked this place. We had been stationed in Virginia, had visited. We had driven through the Blue Ridge and the Smokies a few times. We said we generally like this region. You got the best of everything, in my humble opinion, here. And the people are great, too. So we planted the flag here in Fort Mill in particular. And we've been well-served by York County, and we're glad to be connected to it.
Good. Glad you're here. So how did all this Veterans Affairs stuff come about?
Okay. Well, we were talking before, but the search for work for me, I did everything the wrong way. I got excited about 1 o'clock in the morning searching the web for real estate listings back in 2015, and we just up and moved. That's how much my family believed in me. And it's not the preferred method. I wouldn't recommend this for other veterans, but I moved out here, and with the help of a fellow veteran, was connected with veterans groups and started the job search. So here I was purchasing a home based on my retirement income and a VA home loan, and then just trying to re-enter the workforce. That was a little bit problematic. I started to get more concerned and say, what jobs are going to give me an edge up? Where can I use a veteran's hiring preference? And that's where I discovered that there was a Veterans Affairs office in York County. And I did not understand the difference between county, state, and federal VA. I just thought the VA was the VA. I'm like most, at that point, like
right.
Most people.
Sure.
And got connected through Noelle McCall. I think is her name now. She did a 501c an organization to help veterans interview and find work. She connected me with Melinda Woodhurst, who was brand new in the job. She had been there a year prior as the director. I interviewed for the job and started doing veterans claims and learning the veterans business back
Bingo.
In 2018.
Here you are. Her. Isn't that something? That's a very interesting story. You know, you said something that's I don't think most of us appreciate. You have 20 years in the military.
Yes, sir.
And then all of a sudden you have to go into the private sector. Is that a tough transition?
It is. It was for me. I can only speak for myself.
Well, it seems to be difficult for a lot of people.
The problem is you become competent or perceived competence, and you you're in an organization where, hey, if you've kind of followed the rules and you assume more responsibility and you have more experience, you're going to kind of move up the ranks. And so maybe you're a little spoiled, or you're not familiar with what's going on in the private sector. And many people in my position, when they retire from the military, they have active secret clearances. They know systems. They are plug and play for the military industrial complex, if you will. They go work for Boeing or Lockmar or in those kinds of worlds. I didn't want to do anything that was still surrounding federal contracts or big. I didn't want to do big stuff. I thought, oh, I'll just reinvent myself. I'm Peter Pan. You know, I'll write a blog. I'll find work. And one of the connections to this area was a friend of mine had reached out to me and said, what are you doing, Matt? And I said, right now my garage has never been cleaner. I'm very well organized, and I'm not quite sure. And I worked as a contractor, working from home out of my house in Oklahoma for a major bank here in Charlotte. And that was good. It was good money. Got me back in the workforce, but I was even more disconnected from real people after I'd retired from the Air Force. So ultimately, I decided I need to get out and be in a face-to-face, hands-on type of environment. I didn't know what that would be yet. I tried my hand at getting real estate licenses. I got my South Carolina, North Carolina real estate license. Didn't want to knock on doors. I shared one sale at one time, so I was not the person to look to for real estate advice. But ultimately, that was the state of mind I was in. That was where I was looking, like, what am I really going to do? You know, game on. You know, gotta find work. And, you know, God provides. It was one of those things where I never would have thought of becoming a veteran service representative. But I think I think Melinda had mentioned this to you in previous talks. It kind of felt like everything had led me to that point. I really found a home.
Yeah.
I work with some of the most amazing people. Our county has people from every background, military service, the health services. We're relatable, you know, but they were my people. As soon as I was connected to that office, I really felt like it wasn't a job so much. And it sounds so cliche. But I'm around my people, and our clients are an extension of our family.
Sure.
And for all the drama, you know, good and bad, but it is never a dull day.
I can. And how many? I've forgotten what the number that Melinda told me, but how many thousands of veterans are you all dealing with?
That is the million-dollar question. And I was down at the regional office last week. We talked to the director, Sheila Jackson. Same thing. Everyone knows veterans. Some veterans are connected through healthcare. Some veterans go get a license plate that says they're a veteran. Some people work in Veterans Affairs. But there are others that don't necessarily appear on our radar. And maybe that's not because they're in any kind of distress. They just did their time. That was great. They've moved on with their lives. So the bean counting that goes on for funding purposes and for all that is more of an art than a science. We started with a baseline of 25,000 and change. I had this written down here, 25,111 vets, and that was from old census data. We're going back a ways. Most recently, it was updated in 2023. But we think, and I think Melinda's correct, she had done a lot of analysis, and Melinda likes logistics and analysis. She came up with a number about 45,000. And that 45,000 is not just veterans. That 45,000 encompasses dependent children going to school, spouses, surviving spouses, things like that. So we do serve veterans' families to a great degree. They're a large portion of our office. So I can tell you, I can look you in the eye and say, whatever we had last year, it increased by 1,751 clients this year, year on year. That's a number I can hang my hat on. It's growing. It's definitely growing.
Now, you know, my brother-in-law tells me, and I don't know whether he's right or wrong, but you work on this every day. His impression is that the VA benefits that he received when he came out a long time ago versus what they are today are not as robust. Would you agree or disagree with that?
How long ago did your brother separate?
Oh, my gosh. He's my age, so he must have come out 30 years ago, 35 years ago.
So I can't speak from personal experience. I can only say that I've only seen the VA add programs and expand on programs that weren't there before. Some are like pilot programs, like additional education benefits. Think of all these coding boot camps they do. The VA will every now and then say, let's put so many millions of dollars against this and get our veterans, if they're physically disabled, let's train them in a different direction. So I see spikes with education pilot programs, but it's still a baseline education benefit. I see healthcare is changing. Healthcare is moving into community care, and that's got its fits and starts.
Sure.
So his experience personally may have been true. He may be whatever benefits he's utilizing may have improved or not improved, and it could be interpersonal. It could be a region. Some regions of the country are stronger in certain areas than others. But I hate to dodge that question. On paper, it looks like the VA is steadily growing. I mean, it went up to almost 500,000 people, and it was 483,000, and now they're going to their end state is to be 30,000 below that number in October. So, and it ballooned the last few years. So the size of the VA has overall steadily grown. Now, how it delivers those benefits to people like your brother, that comes down to personal professionalism. It comes down to systems in place. It comes down to perception. There are a lot of people who will come in and say, hey, I just watched this YouTube video, or my cousin Larry said this about Veterans Affairs, or I heard they fired all the doctors and nurses down at the clinic. And they're not lying. They're sincere, but they don't have all the information. My gut says generally we're doing better, but I can tell you working it every day, there's tons of frustration just dealing with the bureaucracy.
But I would guess the key is the local VA office. In other words, here in York County, if I were a vet and I got whatever the particular problem is and I'm getting very frustrated trying to work it out with Washington, D.C., that's when I come to you.
We'd be your first stop. Our role is to represent our clients. So we take on a power of attorney relationship if we're going to get involved in anything like disability claims or appeals or most benefits. So other than fraud, we are ethically supposed to do our best to make sure that they get their benefits in as timely a manner as we can help them do that.
Right.
And provide the best advice moving forward. So we're their guide, we're their representative. We don't make any decisions. But if a person were to have a free, I shouldn't say free, thank you to the taxpayers of York County who greatly support our office, we're there as a resource for a veteran. I don't see why a veteran wouldn't at least first stop in with us, tell us what their concerns are, let us screen them, do a complete eligibility screening. You know, here's a classic example. A veteran comes into our office and says, my wife's tired of the fact that I can't hear. I need hearing aids. And we laugh. You know, some of the older gentlemen, you know, that'll be their reason to get up and come talk to the VA office for the first time in many years is they want hearing aids. Now, the first thing I'll do is I'll say, hey, Mr. Jones, thank you for your service. Oh, you're in the Army? Oh, I see from your hat you're a 9th Infantry Division or what have you. And we start a little bit of a relationship. During that 20-minute conversation, I learned a lot about Mr. Jones and maybe his family. But I learned that he was boots on the ground in Vietnam. Oh, okay. How long have you been dealing with X, Y, and Z? And, oh, I go there for my heart medication. Or oh, okay, so you've got diabetes and you have heart disease. Let's talk a little bit more about that. And I kid you not, it's not just me. Everyone in my office has had this situation where a person comes in with just one quick question. You're in the office for 45 minutes, and that person's walking out with tens of thousands of dollars of soon to be granted. I don't say soon. They're on their road to disability pay and health care without co-pays, additional support for their families, things that they can leave to their spouse. I say you don't know what you don't know. Come in and talk to us. We may not be able to deliver what you think you want, but we may be able to find things that you hadn't even considered before that you're eligible for.
It seems to me that if you were a veteran and you've come out of the military and you know this thing out there called VA benefits is available, that before I would do anything, I would walk into your office and say, hi, I'm fresh out of whatever, the Navy, and I'm trying to figure out what's what. Can you help me? Bingo. And let you tell me what's going on out there.
It would seem logical, and in defense of the people who handle transition assistance programs, and it might be something new since I left, it used to be called TAP, T-A-P. They'll have a briefer or two come from the local VA and talk to separating soldiers, airmen, Marines, about life on the outside. Right. And it really is as good or as bad as the experience level and the orientation of that person giving that briefing. It could be a bunch of slides, and that information is just too complex for the average 25-year-old to care about. You know, my experience was it was just a means to get people to prepare themselves for federal employment only. They talked about getting a commercial driver's license or building a profile on USAJobs.gov.
right.
putting together a basic resume. So it was not, it was well-intentioned, but the VA world is too complex. It's like tax code. There's too many subtle nuances, and things are different regionally. So it's not, it's a tall order for someone to walk out with a clear idea of what they're going to do next. I hate to say it, half of the people leaving the military are like, hey, I've done my time. It was great, guys, but I'm gone. You know, all I know is what I don't want to do, not necessarily what I want to do. And it takes, sometimes it takes months to figure that out. I will say that if someone's listening to this and says, I know someone getting out of the military, they may not know what they want. They may not know what they don't know. But if they talk to us, we can say, hey, when you're ready, if you're concerned about VA healthcare, oh, by the way, since you deployed, there's a window of time that you have free healthcare, regardless of anything else. So we can take some of that anxiety off their plate. Hey, I don't know what I want to do for a living. That's fine. We have people who will help you find that information. Yeah. We'll have people in workforce development get you ready for what you might want to do. But at least introduce you. Build a new network outside of the military. We should be one of their network.
Boy, I would think so. My gosh. If you've given whatever it is, 2, 3, 4 years to the military, whether you've been active duty or, you know, stateside or whatever the case might be, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you take advantage
right.
of this? I mean, maybe the problem is, as you pointed out, the communication to them to make them understand, hey, we honor your service. Here's what's available to you. But when you get out of this place, you got to go find your Veterans Affairs office and sit down and talk with them.
Yep. Yeah. It's the same challenge that parents have with college age students.
Yes,
hey, good. You know, keep notes. Remember your password. You know, some of that mother, the admin type of stuff is kind of on all of us. It's on the commanding officers, the senior NCOs. It's on the, you know, this is a layered transition when you leave the military. That date certain that you separate is the beginning of a stressful time for almost everybody. And we're a safe port in the storm. Come visit us and we'll help you with that.
Okay, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So, Matthew, I didn't warn you about this, but I'm going to tell you now, live on the air. We make fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. We do it between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. And at the count of three, we're all going to bellow that out together. You've heard this. I got it. All right. At the count of three, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden.
You got it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Now, parts of Western York County can enjoy Comporium's advanced internet technology every day. Thanks to the partnership between Comporium and York Electric Cooperative, parts of Western York County now have access to Comporium fiber technology that gives you the ability to stream, download, search, and conference quickly and reliably. Not only is Comporium fiber fast, it's also affordable, starting at just $49.99 per month with no connection fee. For details, go online to comporium.link/YEC to sign up for Comporium high-speed internet today.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Matthew Webb is with us today. He's a brand new director of the York County Affairs Office. He's had this job a total of 30 days. How about
yes,
that?
Sir.
Do you have to get any final approvals for this? I mean, I don't know how all this works.
You know, it's funny. You hit upon a very interesting topic. Melinda was appointed by the delegation. So the delegation and our House representatives and senators down at the State House in Columbia. So the delegation actually does, by law, appoint their county's Veterans Affairs officers. So it is an appointed position. My appointment letter just came in last week, so I went from being interim or acting to fully vested, I guess, in the job last week.
So you made it through the gauntlet.
I made it through the gauntlet. Yes, sir.
Good for you. So we have a brand new Veterans Affairs Clinic here in Rock Hill, 25,000 square feet of
yes, sir.
The latest and the greatest. But this clinic, as I understand this, is actually being operated by the veterans, by the VA in Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Yes, it is a federal property. It's leased by the Veterans Health Administration. It is staffed by federal employees. The difference between this clinic and the clinic where I was a patient up until June 30th was that one was handled through a contract. So there was a contracted company manning and staffing the everyone from the front desk to the doctors and nurses. When that contract came to an end, which was part of the contract on June 30th, that date approached, it raised people's anxieties. The rumor mill started to fill the void. And that void wasn't being helped because there weren't a lot of talking points coming from the federal side other than, hey, this building's going to be great and you're going to love it. And it is a great building and I think it will be great. But that transition from people saying, hey, what's going to happen to my doctor? I've heard a rumor that my doctor's going to be fired or was fired. Or my nurse, or you know, people on that care team, they came to connect with, and I love my care team at the previous Rock Hill Clinic. What's going to happen next? And one of my stressing events, and for a whole team, and Melinda was trying to get ahead of this for the longest time. I was like, well, what is the transition plan? When can we expect our doctor? How many of our doctors and nurses are going to transfer from the old clinic to the new clinic? How does that transfer occur? Well, it turns out they have to compete for the job like everybody else. Who else is going to be hired? When do we meet them? And in the last few weeks, as people are starting to get their first appointments at the new clinic, they're A, impressed with the building, and B, somewhat surprised by their initial contact with the doctor or nurse. Now, the nurses, I believe, some of them are traveling nurses that are helping facilitate these visits. So a veteran goes for their first appointment at the new clinic, is led to a room where there is a television screen. On a television screen is a doctor they probably have never met before from a different clinic. We've had doctors from Greenville, Orangeburg, Columbia taking appointments, but they're virtual. They're telephone, video, telephone conferences. Not every veteran enjoys that experience. More often, there are veterans who have worked very hard to make progress in their mental health, who have a mental health care team. They're the most anxious because it took a while to build that rapport, which is so important. And now they're wondering if their next doctor, if they'll meet the next doctor soon, how long they'll have to wait, and kind of start over a bit. So now on the federal side, I don't work for the federal VA, but on the federal side, they'll say, hey, we're providing continuous care. They're just providing it differently, but they didn't miss a beat in the terms of the old clinic closing and the next one opening. They did open the doors. Just this transition period, in Matt Webb's opinion, is going to take months because nothing happens fast with the federal government. So the hiring of doctors and nurses, it's going to take a little while.
So some of the old familiar faces at the old clinic have not been officially approved by the new federal whatever?
The rumor is, their head nurse and a few doctors are now working at the new clinic. But I don't know if, I'm sorry, Manny. Am I answering your question?
Yeah, you're doing fine.
That is a million-dollar question. How many people have made it through the labyrinth of the hiring process, leaving the old contract and going into the federal workforce and will reappear at the new clinic? And how many are just brand-new faces to our veterans? I don't know.
As you say, it's going to take several months to flush that out.
That's me having looked at a usajobs.gov job posting. And you could do it. You can go on usajobs.gov and look up Rock Hill, select for Veterans Affairs, and look at the healthcare-related job postings. And that kind of tells you where we are in the absorption and the training of the staff in the new clinic.
So generally speaking, this clinic versus the old clinics, forget the staffing, are the services enhanced?
They are by design more modular. What do I mean by that? You have your normal clinic, your initial check-in area. You have your lab area, general health exam rooms. But they've added other exam rooms. They have a plug-and-play bay for mobile units. They have, if you think back to the pandemic, they had these safe clean rooms that are they could be quickly cordoned off from the rest of the facility and have positive air pressure and all kinds of stuff. I'm not medically trained, but they put some thought into expanding and varying the services. What they're going to do is look at, over a period of time, how many of these unique services need to be in the clinic, or can they be farmed out to community care providers. So the facility is very flexible. It's larger, but we won't know for a while, you know, if you're going to have cardiology or audiology or any of the allergies resident full-time at the clinic, or if it'll be on a rotating basis. There will be a variety of full-time and rotating specialties, but that we know.
Well, with that said, you do have, has it been delivered yet, your brand new vehicle to transport people from point A to point B?
I assume you're referring to the DAV, Disabled American Veteran vehicle.
Yeah.
That is in the state. Last time I checked, I was talking to our DAV people down in Columbia. So I don't know, and I'm waiting to find out when the launch date of that service is. It'll be a much nicer vehicle. It'll be a good asset to have back serving our veterans here, but I don't have that date. I wish I could.
It's all paid for. I remember Melinda telling me that.
Yeah, Melinda and some of the amazing people in the community raised the money for that. All and right. So they were able to get that money in time to get that vehicle ordered, and it was ordered. It was, it's not yet on the road. Not here it is.
It's just typical working with the federal government. Everything just takes longer and longer and longer than it ever should.
If I can jump in real quick, though, sure. We've had an amazing outpouring of volunteerism from our veterans, some of them who are disabled, elderly. We're continuously impressed by veterans who will come to see us as our clients. We're representing them on claims, and they'll say, "Hey, Matt, how can I? What can I do? What do you need help with?" Well, they're always looking for DAV volunteer drivers, and Dusty and Melinda took a bunch of them under their wing, brought them down to Columbia, gave a lot of their time. The drivers are giving a lot of their time to be a force in readiness, ready to drive, to take those trips. Ultimately, twice a week down to Columbia. They're great people.
Well, this half hour has scooted right by. I knew
yes,
it
sir,
would
did.
Be. Yeah, you've done a great job. Welcome you've been there. You've been there for 7 years, and now you're the director of something you probably never imagined when you started off.
Yeah, Melinda kind of made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
She's fantastic. Big boots to fill.
And you're right about logistics. She told some stories about what she was involved with.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Anyway, Matthew, thank you for being with us. Good luck on the new venture. Glad to see you ran the gauntlet, and you've been officially approved now by the delegation.
Thank you, I appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, let's look across the masses here and remind everybody what we're going to do here at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. And those of you with mouthfuls of good old food, swallow it quickly, because here we go. At the count of three, let's tell them how we do it. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
All right, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.